Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Good to be back. Thanks to the guys for covering for me yesterday as I was out having major surgery. They said to take 2 weeks off. I said, no, damn it. I'm going in the very next day. And here I am. I listened to the whole show yesterday.
Oh, nice.
It was really good.
Thanks.
I thought you were the best one, Rach.
Thanks. That's just because I've been gone.
Well, we also agree with you, so.
So should I tell the story of my ear?
I think everyone's dying to hear it.
Okay. So I've told the story to a few different people, and I get two basic reactions. From the freaks, like Rage, who love this stuff, they're just like, I need more detail.
I'm holding back. I feel like I'm being rude and intrusive.
I know you are. What did you ask me yesterday? What was the...
Well, I was like, well, did they cut it open with a scalpel?
Oh, that's right.
And then he just texted back, yes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop pushing, but I have like 50 more questions.
Yeah, I think I was literally in the car like 10 minutes after having this procedure done. And Rach just keeps peppering me. And I knew, I already knew that she was like Dr. Pimple Popper Jr. And then she's like, did they use a scalpel? I'm like, oh, I.
Well, because I'm picturing exactly the type of procedure he'd be needing to have. And I was just trying to confirm.
And then the other reaction are people are just like, stop saying words. Just stop talking. I think I scared poor Sean Malone because I ran into him. And of course, you see someone with a giant bandage on the side of their face. You're like, oh, what happened? So I started telling him and he just kept moving farther from me.
I don't want to hear that.
That's enough. That's enough.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Dave. So I'll just tell the story, and then when you get grossed out, you can hit mute.
Okay.
So you guys will remember probably about a week ago, I said on the air, because people kept saying, like, we need an ear update, and that I had awakened one morning with, like, a little lump underneath my ear, kind of right behind the earlobe. In that place, it's always been a place for me because one time when I was a kid, a bully got me in a headlock and drove their finger there. And it's such a, it's like something that like Kung Fu would have done, you know?
Is it like the spot grip? Like,
yeah, it's exactly what it's like. Yeah. And so that's always been sensitive to me. So that's where the thing was. And last Friday, I went to my primary doctor and he put me on a really strong antibiotic and said, give me a call on Monday, which would have been yesterday. But it got worse and worse over the weekend. And I'm not exaggerating. If I were going to be hyperbolic, I would say it was the size of a tennis ball. But it was legit like a whole golf ball sticking out from underneath my earlobe.
Dang.
All red, very angry. And I, you know, you could just tell, hot to the touch. And so I thought, well, I mean, no one's supposed to call the doc, but I think I'm just going to drive there. So I just go walking in without an appointment, and the second he sees me, he's like, you need surgery today. And Dr. Matt Knoyer, who's my ear, nose, and throat guy, and who I've represented here on the show, and who's a good buddy of mine, has been a guest many times, and at this point, I'm like shaking.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a doctor's office, and they're trying to like take my blood pressure. I'm like, it's going to be a million. Mm-hmm. Just step back, like, it's okay.
Now, did you think, like, I'm going to be put out? Or did you kind of know, like, okay, they're just going to give me, like, a local...
Well, it's funny you say that, because then the ladies who work with Dr. Stein all came in the room, and they know what a wuss I am. They're like, it's going to be a whole bunch of nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, and I'm like, okay. And they lied through their teeth. and so I, and Knoyer answers the phone at 9 a.m. on a Monday. He's like, what's up? And I go, I've got an angry shrimp in my face. And he's like, get in the car, head my way. I'll meet you with a scalpel. And so I go into his office and he, you know, Matt, because we're boys, right? I mean, he's talking to me like, I'm a patient, but I'm his buddy. And he's like, dude, this is really bad. This is really bad. You need this immediately. And so, you know, he lays me down, gets me prepped and everything, and he is going to numb it up with a shot behind my ear. Yes.
And right in that little spot.
He couldn't have been more in that spot. And before he does, he looks at me and he goes, Glove, this is going to hurt a lot.
Just what you want to hear from a doctor. Like, hey, buddy, this is really going
to
hurt.
But I was able to, like, gird my loins, and it hurt a lot. It really did. And it went on for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. and then he, you know, drained some stuff, and then he got the scalpel out for Rach, and took it all out, and... evidently can't just sew it back up because it'll just happen again.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So it's like packed with stuff. The hardest thing I had to do was I had to take all of my bandages off this morning and put them back on.
Yeah.
And that wasn't easy.
I'm sure.
And but I think it went okay. If you're watching the stream right now, it's just like a big giant bandage over my ear. And then I'm wearing a sock cap to lessen the blow of my padded headphones.
All right.
And the best working theory, we'll never know what really caused it, but the best working theory are wearing headphones every single day.
Makes some sense.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
So something got blocked, poor whatever.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
So were they concerned that you were like going to start getting a fever or something?
There was already a fever in it.
Okay.
I think they're mostly concerned because I had been on 4 days of Augmentin, which is a pretty, you know, stout antibiotic. And it was just getting worse the whole time. So they switched up my antibiotic. Now I'm on something else. And so I go back in tomorrow morning and they remove the packing. And after that, I think it's more like just taking care of it and putting on the ointment and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Man, I wish I could have seen it.
I know you do.
Yeah.
So curious.
You can meet me tomorrow morning at the doctor's office.
I mean,
you can be the one to pull out the packing.
Oh, man.
Don't tempt her with a good time.
Seriously. What's the address?
And she's like, for real? You for real?
I'll be like, Dr. Knoyer, can I use the scalpel? No.
No.
You cannot.
You cannot.
We're leaving. Knoyer's like, I'm missing a scalpel. So yeah, it was a weird event in my life and a very weird day.
Well, thank goodness you're able to, I mean, shout out to Dr. Knoyer for taking care of that so quickly.
Oh.
Like, can you imagine if you just had that on your face all day waiting around? Like, ooh, that would have been rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you woke up, were you like, uh-oh, I got to do something about this?
Like, the whole weekend, I knew this is only going one direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, a doctor had put me on antibiotics, and when you go on antibiotics, things get better, and this just didn't. So my advice to anyone is I'm a real put my head in the sand about everything, but especially like medical stuff, like, oh, that'll get better. Like, just be really, really aggressive with stuff like that, because I probably should have had the surgery Saturday, but it was the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that, but I'm sure it's different because you wouldn't be able to see your own people that quickly.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
I'd rather see Knoyer.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
Boom.
That's how it went.
Did you take a picture of it before you had it taken care of? Like when it was angry?
Yeah, I have a couple.
I would like to see this, please.
Okay. I don't have anything at its worst.
Okay.
I think I have Sunday's photos. Let me see what I have for you, Rach.
We will be putting them in the stream. No, we're not going to do that.
So that was the second worst day it was, and it kind of doubled in size from that.
Jeez.
Yeah. I tell you what you figure out when you are taking pictures of the side of your head with an iPhone is you're not attractive.
There's no good information to be gained from that.
I can make jokes about being unattractive and having a face like a fist until you take a photo and you're like, it really is like a fist. And then you're like, I probably shouldn't have taken that. So,
yeah, it is very unforgiving as far as like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know you could have pores there, but I guess they do.
Tell you what else is unforgiving is looking at yourself in a mirror very closely while wearing cheaters, because it's just out there, Jerry. Like, like you're seeing everything. Yeah. So.
I got news for you, though. That's everybody.
That's true.
All of these things are everybody, because everybody, when you see everybody out, they have prepared themselves to be seen by other humans.
Yeah.
When you're at home, you're not really prepared for that, and everyone, I guarantee you, everyone sees the same problems.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're, you know, some of these people that are just like, okay, I'm Mr. Perfect.
And no one really notices other people's problems.
No, you notice your own.
Not to that minutia anyway.
Yep. Yeah, well, I forget that there's a line about it somewhere that's something along the lines of, you think everyone's thinking about you, but they're all thinking about their own stuff just like
100%.
You are.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm on opioids as we speak. So just should probably get that out there in case I do something crazy. My very first opioid.
Yeah? Really?
You never had it? Never had one.
It sounds like a children's book.
My first opioid. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know what I expected. I think I expected to be turning tricks on the corner by now.
Well, the one you have is like the starter set.
Okay.
That's like the beginner's version. At least if that's the one I remember you saying it was.
Hydrocodone.
Yeah, that's the beginner.
Okay.
Oxycodone. That's the
bad boy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just sat there all day waiting to get super crazy high, and I never did, so. But there's a different standard for laying on your couch and moving among other humans and doing a radio show for 4 hours.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
So.
Yeah. Don't screw it up, Dave.
Yeah. Well, if I do, I won't remember it, so.
Hey, at least it'll probably be fun.
So that's okay. But yeah, thanks to Dr. Stein and Dr. Knoyer.
Yeah.
And Dr. Knoyer's lovely assistant, who I don't think wanted to be there completely.
Really?
Yeah, at some point he's like, you can step out if you want. She's like, I'll hang.
Yeah.
I'm like, can I step out?
Dr. Knoyer doesn't even have an assistant, and Dave's like, these pills don't do anything.
Tell Sally I said thank you.
Dr. Knoyer's assistant tomorrow is going to be me in like a fake mustache and glasses.
Dr. Knoyer's assistant, who happened to be a fairy riding a unicorn.
Hello, Dave. Come on in. So what I miss, I listened to most of the show. It's really good.
I mean, you just missed out on the fun yesterday.
Yeah, we had fun. Lots of Cardinals talk, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we had some fun segments.
You almost had your Redbird Rush Hour debut.
Yeah. It made me sad listening.
Because we're like, yeah, it would have been fun to have another guy.
Yeah, I was listening and you're like, yeah, we're supposed to have Glove with this. And I'm over here like Vincent Van Gogh, you know, just trying to hold my ear on.
He's holding it on.
I could still come in for a while.
A big sigh.
The phone starts ringing and it's me.
What could have been?
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Come on, come on.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. We have attorney Brad Young, who we love having on, joins us at 1:30. Hopefully he can stay until 2. At 2, our buddy Mike Claiborne is going to join us, filling in for Ricky. And then we have Ian Mackey later on. Today is Election Day, of course. Sweet 16 at 4 p.m. I don't know that we've ever done this one before. The Sweet 16 of best sports nicknames of all time.
Yeah.
Boy, you almost could have done them by sport.
My goodness.
I mean, there's just so many.
If you just go back to like 100 years ago, you got 8 million of those names.
No one had a regular name.
Yep. Farts Magoo.
Yep. Do you see the guy that jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge?
He was naked.
Yeah. And he lived.
Mm-hmm. Was it a stunt? Like, was he intending to live?
Great question. The only reason I would think possibly is that when he jumped off, he was holding some sort of like a bag that looked like one of those things that would open into a parachute.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether it was a suicide attempt or if it was attention. I don't know. But they're charging him with a bunch of crimes, which I think is kind of stupid. It's like, I don't think you're going to deter the next person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the whole reason this thing's a story is because the guy didn't die.
Yeah,
typically, you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, 280 feet above the water, you die. And I don't think anyone's like, well, I didn't know you could get charged with crimes if I survived, so.
I mean, it won't stop anybody that, you know, has bad intentions, but it might stop the dumb stunt dudes from doing it.
Maybe.
I mean, how many resources did they have to spend to rescue his dumb ass from the water?
Yeah. I feel like he's been through enough.
Well, it depends on which scenario it is, right? Like, if he was having a mental episode, that's a different thing. If he did it on purpose as a dare, well, it's a different animal entirely.
Yeah.
We don't know, though, do we?
I don't think we know anything yet. Okay. Did you guys see the Spider-Man toot?
No.
What?
yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw the headline.
There is a whole theater there to see Tom Holland's big, giant Spider-Man debut, opening night. And evidently, someone had been to Taco Bell or something, and they were tooting so bad that the place cleared out. And they said, people kept trying to come back in, and they'd just be like, no.
Oh, my god!
Are you sure that's not one of those like fart spray pranks?
I am not sure.
Because that will clear a room. I don't know if you've ever smelled those things, the little sprays. Oh my god.
I don't think that's a prank. I don't think like something that mean you can chalk up to being like, it's a prank.
Gotcha. Well, I don't mean it that way. I just mean like whether it's actual fart or it's somebody thinking it's a funny thing to do.
It just bothers me that they sell it as like, it's a prank. It's like, no, it's a day ruiner. That's what it is.
It's definitely something that makes you cry. Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking at all these people in the lobby of the theater, and one of them is a Spider-Man. He's in full Spider-Man garb, and he's just on his iPhone like, man, I can't believe this.
He's got to be the suspect, right?
Because you're like, oh, and then the cameras will see me in my suit.
Yeah.
He's a pretty jacked Spider-Man. Jeez. Yeah, that's...
I almost hope it was the spray, because if your farts are that bad,
I know, for a whole theater.
That's pretty humiliating. I'm sorry.
Or you could be proud of that.
Yeah, something tells me the person wasn't embarrassed. Because if you're the kind of human that would be embarrassed by that,
leave.
After the first one,
you're like, I'm out.
Well, wait,
you just drive home.
It can't be the Spider-Man in the lobby, because if it was so bad people kept trying to re-enter and couldn't, that means the farter, the tutor, was staying
Stayed
put.
In there.
He was tooting all movie long.
Well, he could have been clever.
Yeah.
He could have been like, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Let's try it again, guys.
Yeah, everyone's leaving. It won't be suspicious.
One
let's
more
go.
Time.
Take it easy.
on KMOX. Attorney Brad Young joins us. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Tons of stuff to talk about today. Hopefully you can stay with us for two segments.
Yeah, I can.
Good. Let's start with, this is like my pet issue. I take a bunch of crap from listeners because I care too much about it, but I think it's such an interesting character study. And now it's a study in the law, and that's this stupid-ass reflecting pool. And I've come to some conclusions, because you know I'm fascinated by Trump. And yep. I don't think he knows that we all know that he's lying in the most first grade way ever. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it because he looks so stupid. And, you know, the whole like, I mean, there's sound of all this. It was vandals and they this and they that and a 300-yard slit and blah, 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 blah. And we're indicting American citizens for something that no one believes they did. And then the Department of Interior comes out and says, not vandals. It was, you know, shoddy workmanship. And Jeanine Pirro, who's the prosecuting the AG in D.C., dismisses the case. And then Trump is he's going off on her and she folded like an umbrella. And it's and he even says he's like, well, you know, it could have been some shoddy work, but it's mostly vandals. And had they only had the cameras up, we would have had caught them red handed. Like, it's so embarrassing. You know what I mean?
It is. And from a policy perspective, there are a lot of issues, Dave, that are grenades. They blow up on you with no notice and there's nothing you can do about it. This is one of those PR issues that should never even exist. You know, it shouldn't be a problem. He shouldn't have made an issue out of it. By making an issue out of it, then he has to come out with outlandish statements. And Jeanine Pirro did the right thing. I mean, we talked about this at the time, that most likely that those flaps of the bottom of the reflecting pool were just, you know, garbage and they were floating up and a guy touches it. But that doesn't mean that he caused it to rip from the bottom of the reflecting pool. Jeanine Pirro made the right call, dismissed the charges. But it just highlights that while in some areas Trump is so good at marshaling public opinion in a certain way, or at least getting his base to feel a certain way, but that's a two-edged sword, and this shows the weakness of some of his instincts.
Yeah, like, okay, two things. First, there are some things about Trump and policies and opinions and such that I think are really ridiculous. But if you believe them, okay, we can shake hands and agree to disagree. But if you still think vandals did this, you're stupid. You are organically unintelligent. Just go outside and practice falling down. Here's the second thing I need to tell you, and it's pretty terrible. And it's about Jeanine Pirro. Rach, brace yourself.
Okay.
I can't stand her, but I think she's kind of hot.
I knew you were going to say that.
She's my new
Nancy Pelosi.
There's something about her. Maybe it's because she's so friggin' mean. But I'm like, God, I can't stand you. I bet you look good in lingerie. So anyway, there are those two things. I'm on opioids right now, Brad, so I may need you to represent me later on.
Wow, let's see. That's called a BUI, isn't it? Broadcasting under the influence?
I think you're right. Yeah. Okay, the next one, unless, Rach, you want to talk more about Jeanine.
Well, I was just going to say, I saw that she and the president had like a private meeting at the White House after she, you know, dropped these.
Folded like an umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said in a presser yesterday that she choked.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope the meeting went okay.
No, she just knows there's no evidence.
She just did the right thing. It's so rare that someone does the right thing around him that to him, it just looks crazy.
Well, I mean, I don't know if she did the right thing as much as she did something so that she wouldn't lose her license, right?
Because there's only so much you can do, you know?
Well, yeah. I would disagree with you there, because there was actually an indictment, at least on the guy who was the former Olympian. And prosecuting based upon a federal indictment, you're not going to ever get crossways with the Bar Association for malicious prosecution if you're doing it based on an indictment. However,
is that true if the new evidence is coming from like the Department of Interior saying there was no vandalism? Doesn't that kind of make it clear that you're not prosecuting based on evidence. It's political.
Well, it's what would be from a bar association complaint or a problem with your bar license perspective. As long as you're going from an indictment, I don't see how you could get it in trouble in any way.
Interesting.
Because the only question is going to be, did you have a legal basis? Not that it would be successful, but did you have a legal basis to prosecute this individual? And if the indictment's there, the answer is always going to be yes.
Even if the evidence changes?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Because that evidence wasn't given to the grand jury to get the indictment, nor is it required. I mean, that's the reason why everyone always says that trite saying, you can indict a ham sandwich, because the prosecutors get to cherry pick what information is given to a grand jury. And they're not required by law to give all of the information to a grand jury. So I don't see that that's a problem. But I agree with Dave that it's so rare to see someone actually do the right thing in Washington, even if they're going to face consequences for it.
So that's fascinating to me that you can gain an indictment, find out in a factual way from your own, from a government agency, it's the same government you work in, that allegation is false, but you could continue to prosecute? That seems very odd.
Sure, because here's how, no, here's how that would happen.
Brad, let's play this forward. You want me to handle this one?
Yeah, you take it, Dave. You're the expert here, buddy.
Okay, here's how it goes, Wheels. So if I'm a lawyer, a prosecutor, and I get an indictment on Rachel, and then I get exculpatory evidence, it's my duty to share that. I can't hide the donut.
Right.
And I can't allow one of my witnesses to say something that I know is a lie. Take it from there, Brad.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know. You're doing a good job. How often do you get to use exculpatory evidence? You know, that's
every
that's
time
party
I take opioids.
Right,
I heard that on Law and Order once.
but no, then what would happen is you'd go on a motion to dismiss in front of a judge, and then the judge could dismiss the charges, which is exactly what would happen if it goes forward. But under no circumstances would the prosecutor get in trouble for doing that.
That's fascinating that you could prosecute someone you know didn't do it, and there's no penalty to you.
Well, that's
isn't crazy.
That the job, though?
No, I get it. But, I mean, like, you should at least believe that they did it based on the evidence that you have. If you have evidence that says this person didn't do it and you push forward, I would think there should be consequences for that.
No, because what is belief? I mean, in all honesty.
Well, it's not belief. It's actual testimony from a person who was, from a government agency that said, nope, it wasn't vandalism.
Yeah, and they could probably find five other people who would testify that, yes, it was vandalism if you pushed them on it. And that's what we call the battle of the experts. Listen,
yeah,
I deal with this every single day. It doesn't get you the attorney crossways, but that's why we have a judge to say, this is crap, this is true, here's how I'm going to rule. That's the judge's job.
Yeah.
So, Brad, the pool and the indictment is a real thing. I mean, it's a real thing to the people who've been indicted. But this Blanche situation affects even more people. As I understand it, months ago, they came out with this anti-weaponization fund, $1.8 billion, basically for J6ers, Trump people who've been mistreated by Biden or Obama. Plus, the Trumps get some sort of a get-out-of-jail-free for some past tax stuff. And everyone, including Republicans, blew up and said, this is insanity. You can't do this. And they very quickly said, okay, it's dead. And then a couple of I loved this one. Cornyn and Tillis, I guess it was, were holding out.
Yep.
And Trump, in another babyish fit of anger, said they didn't have a problem with this before I primaried them. And now, and I'm like, yeah, you idiot. Of course, that's the way this works. When you take away someone's job in the Senate, they're not going to be your best friend. So anyway, now they wanted him to put it in writing. I guess he has. But a lot of pundits I've been hearing on television are saying, like, oh, it's not worth the paper it's printed on.
Well, there's some truth to that. I did a deep dive into this last night, and looking at even if they put this in writing, could they still do an end around and try to come up with this fund again? And the answer is yes, but it would be difficult. It would be difficult to pull off for a number of reasons, not the least of which I think that any kind of anti-weaponization fund would be deemed unconstitutional. It would, because it would be a funding mechanism not approved by Congress. It would be outside the boundaries of the DOJ's ability to settle litigation. So I, even if it was technically resurrected at a later date, I really don't see this ever happening.
Let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the current status of the war in Iran and a couple of other interesting stories that Attorney Brad Young had.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Attorney Brad Young is with us. Brad, let's talk about the current status of the war in Iran. I am getting really concerned because I've never really considered what if America ran out of weapons. That just didn't seem like something possible. And now I've seen the numbers. We've gone from like 2,300 of these down to 750 of these. And wheels on your show sheet, you're saying that our long-range effective missiles are kind of gone. And
well, that was a Reuters story, too, by the way. So it's not some rando just making things up.
Yeah, it's just not going well. And I think the president is absolutely befuddled. And he just keeps like, last chance. This is last chance. One more. Okay, this is it. I'm going to bomb the hell out of you. Like, it's not working, dude. I think Iran, as evil as they are, have played this perfectly.
Let me break down a couple of things. First of all, you know, I follow military tech very, very closely. And I saw that Reuters piece this morning. I question that. That's based upon the statement of one person from within the Pentagon. But I also know that as before the Iran war started, that we had an excess of 2,500 Tomahawk. That's our best long-range land attack missiles. We had about 2,500 of them. And I've also seen multiple stories that says we fired about 1,000 during the Iran war. So we've just got about 1,500 left. That's a lot of firepower. Secondly, the Trump administration has signed deals with Northrop, with a couple of different defensive contractors, including Raytheon, to quadruple the production of all of our long-range attack missiles. So I don't see that that's a real issue. Plus, now we're not using Tomahawks. We're using airdropped munitions because there's no air defense over Iran right now. We have total air superiority and dominance. So that's not really a big issue. Secondly, though, here's what I think is fascinating about the negotiations. Trump says we're close to a deal. Bessent says we're close to a deal. Iran says we're not even talking. So how do you reconcile those? Well, Iran is lying and being, I won't say lying, they're being deceptive, just like a lot of times American presidents can be deceptive. Right now, Iran is negotiating, but they're doing it with Qatar, they're doing it with Oman, and they're doing it with Pakistan. And reports from Al Jazeera this morning indicate that they are close to a deal, but Iran is not talking directly to the United States. So as we talked about last week, and I hate to say I told you so, but last week I said, we're not going to get any deal done here unless we get the Arab countries in the area to join in, participate, and spearhead negotiations. That happened over the weekend, and now I do think we're probably close to a deal.
Man, I hope you're right.
Well, we had a deal a while ago, right?
We've had a
few. But we've had a lot, right? So wheels. Here, let me clarify this, okay? We could have a deal tomorrow, right, and then we could have no deal, right, 3 days later.
I know, okay? It's frustrating.
Yeah, we could. And that's clearly possible.
Brad, what's your favorite story that you sent over to Andrew? We'll do whichever one you want to do.
Well, the one I think is the most interesting is dealing with the judge in New York that's banning face coverings for ICE, because New York and a lot of blue states have filed these laws that say if you're an ICE agent, you can't wear a mask. If you're an ICE agent, you can't do this or that. And I've always said those are unconstitutional. And a New York judge came out today and said that very thing. You can't, states can't dictate what federal authorities do because of the supremacy clause of the Constitution. But they also, the judge also held that states can tell their own law enforcement officials not to cooperate with the feds, because that's also legal. You, a state can say, feds, you do whatever you want under federal law, but we're not required to help you. And that's also legal. So as we move forward with all of this ICE, whether it's in Illinois, New York, Connecticut, a lot of these states are doing this. There are boundaries on what states can and cannot do.
Wheels?
I don't know. I thought I again, it's another issue that confuses me, because no other law enforcement has to cover themselves, cover their faces, hide their identities. In fact, every other law enforcement group has to wear a badge with their name and number on it. And I don't think we would be cool if the St. Louis Police Department all of a sudden was just masked up everywhere they went. And I think it's interesting that we also have this same time, like we've got a political group, a political party that wants to leave some things to the state, but then not other things to the states. Like, do we want states' rights or do we not? Because to me, it should be consistent.
Brad, what can you tell us about this supremacy clause that they cited as a reason to allow ICE to keep covering their face?
Well, the supremacy clause under the Constitution, and Dave, if you want to tag team in here, go right ahead, buddy.
I was just going to handle it, you take a shot. You take a shot.
The supremacy clause in the Constitution states that any area that's covered by federal jurisdiction, the federal government shall prevail over the state government. That's why states can't create their own money, okay, because that's covered by the feds. And in this instance, immigration is covered by the feds. So you can't have a state dictating what the federal authorities are doing when it comes to immigration, because that's an exclusively federal issue.
So if the American people wanted to change this, would we have to amend the Constitution somehow?
Yes, okay. Which is effectively never going to happen. Mm.
You know, Brad, I don't know if you feel this way. I was lamenting last week on the show that the older that I get, the less math I can do and the worse my spelling is. And it's not like I think I could just go back to being a lawyer tomorrow and be effective, but it's surprising to me how much I remember about promissory estoppel and adverse possession. Like, law school does a real number on you.
Yeah, it does. But don't ask me what a covenant that runs with the land. Don't ask me anything about that. I got no clue.
Mm.
I'll save that one for you guys for later.
How was your first year of law school?
Interesting. My first semester, I got all D's in every class. Mm-hmm. And the second semester, I got straight A's. And the difference, how do I go from straight D's to straight A's, is because I had that epiphany of law school isn't looking for the right answer. There never is a right answer. Mm-hmm. The only question is how well can you argue whichever issue you want to take, mm-hmm, or answer you want to take. I didn't understand that the first semester, all D's. I got it during the second semester, all A's, and that made all the difference in the world.
Wow, that's interesting.
Man. Yeah. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.